Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Ayin Beis. We are holding on daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, five lines into the page. Last word on the line, Hahu, at Hahu Gavra. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Aleha Shalom. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the daf Yomi Shir. So the Gemara is first going to have a Maisa and several Rayos, whether Pisuk Damim is Ma'akev a Kinyin, meaning if they made a Kinyin without yet determining a price, So is that going to be something that is ma'akev the kinyan, where we say that it is not a valid kinyan? Then the Gemara is going to tell the story about somebody who promised to sell land at a certain price, and then he sold it to somebody else for a different price. So is the kinyan with the first guy a valid kinyan, and therefore the sale with the second guy void? Or do we assume that since it's a different price, the sale with the second guy is valid? Then the Gemara is going to have various cases where the sale price is to be determined by some panel of experts. When do we assume it requires a Beis Din? When do we assume it requires all of the experts, the majority of the experts that are mentioned? And that discussion will bring us to the Mishnah on Amud Aleph. The Mishnah is going to talk about selling wine to Nachrim and to Jews in succession to one another. So what one needs to be careful about in terms of his Kalim, if you were just selling wine to Nachrim and now you're using those same Kalim to sell wine to Jewish people. Then the Gemara is going to get right into the discussion that takes us throughout the entire rest of the daf, which is whether nitzok is considered chibur. When there's a steady stream pouring from one kli to another, does that stream connect whatever's in the bottom kli to whatever's in the top kli? So if there's yayin nesach in the bottom kli, is therefore everything in the top kli also considered yayin nesach? And the Gemara is going to have four or five different rayas, whether nitzok is chibur or not chibur, and that discussion brings us all the way to the Mishnah on the top of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. So let's begin again, Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, five lines into the page. Hu gavra damar le chavri. There was a guy that said to his friend, if I sell this karka, I am going to sell it to you. Meaning I'm not selling right now, but when I do sell it, when the time comes, I know that you are interested, I'm going to sell it to you. And they made a kinyan to that effect, to that deal, that it's going to be sold specifically to this buyer. Azal zavna l'nishachrina. And then the balakarka went and he sold it to somebody else. Some Rav Yosef kanakama. Rav Yosef says, the first guy made a kinyan and it's his. The second guy's kinyan is invalid. Now that the kinyan was, as soon as I decide to sell it, it's yours. He decided to sell it, so it should belong to the first guy. Amle Abai said back to Rav Yosef, why? Why is the first guy koneh the karka? V'lo pasak. They never set a price. And if they never set a price, there's no real smichas das. There's no real kinyan if they didn't know what the price was going to be. And he just said, I'm going to sell it to you, whatever, without quantifying any price. So the Gemara says, well, where do we know that from? Minot temra to kalecha de lo pasak lo kana. Who told you that when there's no pisuk damim, that there is no kinyan? How do I know that that's true? That without setting a price, that the kinyan is invalid? Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah in yesterday's daf, Hamocher Yeinu Lovid Chavim. If a person is selling wine to Lovid Chavim, Pasak Ad Shalom Adad, if he came up with a price prior to doing the Mashicha, Dam of Mutarin, then the money that you get for it is going to be Mutar, because the guy is Kona the wine with the Mashicha, and at that point he becomes Chayiv in the payment, and only afterwards he touches the wine and he's Menasechit. So he was Chayiv in the payment before it became Yayin Nesach, so the money is not money that's exchanged for Yayin Nesach. But Madad Ad Shalom Pasach, if he did the Mashicha of the wine, and only then did a Pisuk Damim, only then did they agree upon a price, then Dama Vasurim, then whatever money he gives you is going to be Asir, because the Mashicha didn't work. It didn't, it was not a valid form of Kinyan. Why? Because there was no Pisuk Damim. So you see that without Pisuk Damim, there's no Kinyan. That Pisuk Damim is Ma'akev a Kinyan. So the Gemara says, May Havila. So what do we say at the end of the day? How do we paskin over here? So it says, what do you mean? There was nothing unclear over here. May Havila, because the Kamarina, we already said, like that you see clearly from the Mishnah Mishnah that Abaye is right, that a kinyan does not work without pisuk damim. We didn't leave anything vague. Well, what kind of question, my havi Allah? We just concluded. So says Gemara, no. Dilma chumra di'ay nesach shayni, that it's true, you've proven from our Mishnah that we have to be machmir, that when there was no pisuk damim, that there was no kinyan, and therefore the guy had already turned the wine into yai nesach, and the money that he's giving you is money that's exchanged for yai nesach. We need to be machmir that you're not allowed to get an off from that money, but maybe that's a special chumra that you have by yai nesach, where the din is different than the chumra always a little more machmir by yai nesach. But maybe when it comes to a kinyan of a field, the psika is not ma'akev the kinyan. So there is makom to be mechalik between yai nesach and shar kol ha'torah kula. So therefore, we're asking, may havila, do we in fact apply that principle to kol ha'torah kula? So Gemara says, okay, let's try to find another raya outside of the world of yai nesach to see if pisuk damim is ma'akev the kinyan. So Tashma, so we'll bring another raya. Dam ravidi barav and uvda havda be Rav Chista. There was a maisa in the base medrash of Rav Chista. He was asked about this very din, whether a kinyan works without pisuk damim. Rav Chista be Rav Huna, and Rav Chista went to the base medrash of Rav Huna so that they could look into this matter together. Upashte mehadetanya, and Rav Huna was poshet the suffik from the following brisa about a person who had workers bring peros on a donkey, or they were carrying the peros on their own shoulders, and the mocher wanted to sell the peros to somebody else. The guy who owned these peros, who had these workers, wanted to sell them to somebody else. So masha chamara v'upoalav, if the guy buying it did a mishicha on the donkeys or on the workers themselves, and the peros were still on the backs of the donkeys or these workers, v'ichnisan l'toch beso, and he brought them into his house to be koned them, bein pasakat shalom madad, whether he did he was posting damim before doing the mashicha, but he did not yet measure the peros into the kelim of the kona. Ubein madad, or whether he put the peros in the kelim of the kona ad shalom pasak, but he didn't yet do a pisuk damim lo kona. The kinyan is not chal ushnei nichol nachzerben, and both parties are still able to back out because there has been no kinyan. Why has there been no kinyan? So it depends which case. In the case where it was pasak and they didn't yet do a medida, that they set the price, they didn't yet measure it out into the kelim of the lokeach, so of course there's no kinyan, because where's the kinyan? What, the meshicha is the kinyan? He didn't do a meshicha on the peros, he did a meshicha on people that happened to be carrying peros. That's not a valid form of meshicha. The peros are not considered to be in the reshus hakona, they're on top of the mocher's workers, so that's not a valid form of kinyan. In the case where he was modeid and lo pasak, so the reason there's no kinyan is because the buyer has no idea what kind of price is going to be mentioned for this. He has no smichas das that he's really going to go through with this. It could be that the seller is going to come up with some exorbitant price that the buyer is not prepared to pay. But if Pirkan, if he was porik the peros, he took them off, he unloaded them from the donkey or from the workers, v'chnisan l'toch peso, and the buyer brought them into his house, so then pasak ad shalom madad, if he set a price in advance, then that is a final kinyan, because after the psika, the fact that he brings it into his chatzer, that works as a form of kinyan. Rashi has a little bit of a funny comment over here, where Rashi says, yeah, his rishus is kona b'mashicha. B'mashicha is Rishus L'choras Kona with Kinyan Chatzar. I mean, it's in his Chatzar. What do you mean, B'mashicha? So the Rashash says, typo in Rashi, which it should say, Kimashicha. That just like Mashicha, which is the Kinyan that we thought was applying up until this point, so we're saying, oh, okay, but if you put it down in your Chatzar, so then it's your Rishus is going to be Kona. And it's the fact that they didn't measure the Peros in the Kelim of the Mocher is not Ma'akev the Kinyan over here, meaning if it's in the reshus of the kona, even if the items are still in the kalim of the mocher, it's not ma'akiv the kinyan from being chal. The kinyan is a valid kinyan. But mada dat shelo pasak, if he moved the peros from the kalim of the mocher to his own kalim, but they still didn't yet set a price, shnei yichal nachzerben, they're both allowed to back out. Why are they both allowed to back out? Because there's no price that was set. So you see that pisuk damim is ma'akiv a kinyan. Without a price, you don't have a kinyan. So that is the source. So again, what happened in the Gemara over here? We wanted to know if pisuk damim is ma'akev a kinyan. So we said, because we had this story where a guy did a kinyan to sell a house to somebody without mentioning a price, and then he sold it to somebody else. So the psak was that the first guy owns it. So Abaye said, what are you talking about? The first guy doesn't own it. There was no piece of k'damim. So we want to know, is that true, that piece of k'damim is makiv a kinyan? Raya number one is, you see beferish by yayin nesach, that piece of k'damim is makiv a kinyan, and that's why the yayin is going to be asir. Gemara rejects that raya. Don't bring me raya from yayin nesach. We have all sorts of chumras when it comes to yayin. So raya number two is outside of the world of yayin nesach, of a regular case, of a transaction, and you see clearly from the price of the piece of k'damim is ma'akev a kinyan, that you need to have a price if you want the kinyan to be chal. Next story, a guy says to his friend, if I ever do sell this land, I will sell it to you. And he mentioned a price. He said, and they made a kinyan to that effect. So again, the kinyan was not that I am hereby selling you this land right now. The kinyan is, look, I'm very happy in my house. It's an old man living in the house. We should have a neighbor for a long time, an old man living in the house. And he said, look, I'm going to die in this house. But one day when the time comes, I'm happy to sell it to the shul, right? You know, but he happened to have not mentioned a price at the time. But Meyazuzi, the guy says, Meyazuzi, I'm going to sell it to you for 100 zuz. When the time comes, but it's not yet. And then Azul Zabna Lina Shachrina B'Meyav Esrin. And then the guy goes and sells it to somebody else for 20% more. So Amrav Kana Kanakama. Whoa, the first person has a taina. There was a kinyan, there was a price, there was an agreement. So as soon as he agrees to sell it, it triggers the original kinyan, and therefore the first buyer is the actual buyer. Maskel Yaakov ben Har Pekod. So Yaakov ben Har Pekod asks on this, he was from the Meiri says he was not one of the Amoraim. He was from the original Gaonim, Rabbi Yaakov bin Har Pekod. A lot of times in the Talmud Bavli, you have certain passages from Gaonim that made its way into the Talmud Bavli. So he was whatever, very, very, very late Amora, or one of the Gaonim. So Rabbi Yaakov bin Har Pekod asks, so Haizuze and Suhu, what do you mean? The seller was getting more money from the second guy, and that's what forced him to sell the karka. Otherwise, he wouldn't have sold it. So whatever he told to the first guy that he's going to sell it to him, he meant to say that if I choose to sell it for this price, you are the one that I'm going to sell it to. But if I choose to sell it for a different price, there's no agreement in place. The agreement was only, meaning when he mentioned the piece of damim, it's not that I'm locking myself into this price. I'm locking myself into you if this is the price. But if it's not the price, then I'm not locking myself into this kinyan at all. That's how Rashi seems to understand. The Ritva says, and therefore, according to Rashi, what if the first guy were to come back and say, okay, I'll pay you 120. I'll match it. I'll match what the other guy is paying you. Says the Ritva within Shitas Rashi, no dice. Meaning the second guy could see, the seller could still choose to give it to the second guy. Because there was never a commitment at any other price than $100. Meaning, if I choose to sell it for $100, you're my guy. Not if you match whatever. If I'm selling it for this price, you're my guy. If I sell it for any other price, then I'm free to do as I please. However, the Ravid writes that the first guy definitely has the right to match whatever price. Granted, if someone comes in with a higher offer, the seller is allowed to sell it to the person with the higher offer, or at least the kinyan is chal with the seller with the higher offer. But the first guy has the right to match that offer. Vilksek Rav Yaakov min Har Pekod. The halacha follows Rav Yaakov min Har Pekod. Now the Gemara over here isn't really discussing whether the seller is right to do this or wrong to do this. The Gemara is discussing whether the kinyan is chal, meaning who is the owner of this item. There are a set of dinim called Mishapara and Mechus that there are certain times where a kinyan may be chal, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe isn't so pleased with the person who doesn't keep his word. So that's a totally different sugya. If you promise to do something, or you made an agreement, and then you back out on the agreement without a kinyan, over here the question is whether the kinyan is chal. So Amalei, the mocher says to the kona, the Gemara brings another din, Kedishaybi B'tlasa. He says, I'll sell you this karka, and we're not going to name a number right now, but we'll say what a panel of three experts will determine is a fair market value. So then afilu trei migot tlasa. You don't need all three experts to agree on the price. Even if two out of the three agree on a specific price, that's good enough. Because when you say such a lashon kedushai mi b'tlasa, you clearly mean a beis din, and a beis din consists of three people. But a psak of a beis din is always determined by the majority of those three people, not by unanimity among those three people. But the Ritva points out, you do need three people. You can't just say, okay, so two experts agreed, and therefore I have a majority of three. No, you only have a rubo kikulo when you have three, meaning it has to be a beis din. So it's got to be three people, and two of them agree. The Ritva says, wait a second, the Maisa Kinyan was before they ever made an assessment. How does that work? I thought a Kinyan without a psika is nachal. This is not a piece of dummim, meaning he says, well, the price is going to be whatever these three experts say. That's not a piece of dummim. So why is that something that's binding? So the Ritva says, why is it that you need a piece of dummim? You need a piece of dummim because otherwise we assume there's no smichas das, that people aren't really committed to this sale because I have no idea what's involved, meaning he's going to tell me it costs $10, he's going to tell me it costs $10 million. I have no idea. So neither party really has a full smichas das. But when you know that it's going to be fair market value, that gives you a certain smichas das. Fair market value is determined by a panel of experts, so that gives you a smichas das, that there's a direction that I'm going to be willing to pay, whatever the fair market value is going to be. But if the mocher says to the kona, kida amri bitlasa, he doesn't say kida shaymi bitlasa, he says kida amri bitlasa, like three people say, then ada amri bitlasa. Then you need all three people to agree, because he's not saying a lashon of beis din, he's saying a lashon of I want three experts, so then you need all three. What if he says kida shaymi ba'arba'a? So he says kida shaymi, which is lashon of beis din, but he says ba'arba'a, which is a number that has nothing to do with the beis din. So then ada amri ba'arba'a. Then it's not a lashon of beis din at all, because it's not the right number of people. So obviously he means that all four should agree. And certainly if he says kida amri ba'arba'a, he means that all four members of the panel should agree. Amrle, if he says kida shaymi b'tlasa, vas l'tlasa v'shamua, what if they made the agreement that it should be done based on three dayanim, kedishaymi bitlasa, and three people came and assessed the value of the land. Va'amrle idach, and the kona says to the mocher that he doesn't want to rely on the assessment made by these three people. He says leisu tlasachrina, I want a different panel of experts, tikim lutfei, who are greater experts. Meaning, I don't trust the original experts. Amra Papa Dinu Hudma'akev. He has a right to insist on a different panel of experts that are greater experts. That's well within his right. So Masra Ravun Breda of Shua, Maidani Kim Lutfei, Tamahani Kim Lutfei. What do you mean? Who says that his panel of experts is any greater than the first guy's panel of experts? Meaning, how can you just whenever the experts say something you don't like, you say, I need new experts. Who's to say your experts are greater than his experts? Vilsak Ravun Breda of Yeshua, and the Alach is Ravun Breda of Yeshua has a really, really good point. Now the Ritva says, what exactly is the case that the Rav Papa and Ravun Breda of Yeshua are arguing about? Meaning, if they were both involved in choosing the original panel of experts, lecharetz davar pashut, that one of the guys, after they both agreed, okay, these are our experts, these are the people we agree about. Oh, but now I don't like what they said. I need bigger. Of course, you can't back out at that point. Everyone's going to agree to that. And if we're talking about that one of them chose a panel of experts and the other one never agreed to it, so then of course you can say, who said you guys are experts? We have to agree to this. You can't just bring in whoever you want and claim them to be experts. Right? So then of course you're allowed to back out. So the second guy, of course, is allowed to insist on other people. So the Ritva says it must be that the Kona initially didn't want to choose who's going to do the Shuma. So the Mocher on his own chose three people, and the Kona knew that it was going on and he just didn't say anything. He just didn't say a word. So he didn't make a macha'a. So the question is the shtika koda'a, is the lack of macha'a, being aware that this was happening, is that considered to be that, okay, I'm fine with this process? Or is he saying, I am not engaging, right? Meaning the fact that he's shosek, I'm not engaging in this process because I think that I find this whole thing so messed up. And that's his, he could claim afterwards. So that's the machlokas. Can he claim afterwards, I was quiet because this was ridiculous. I'm not going to engage in the kinds of people that you were choosing. choosing, or can the mocher say, what do you mean? You weren't responding to my emails, so I had to pick experts. You were aware every step of the way exactly what was going on. If you had a problem, you should have at least responded to the email. No, I don't agree, or something. You had to send me a lawyer, do something, but you didn't do anything. So that's the machlokas from Papa Rav Huna Brei to Rav Yeshua. Okay, new Mishnah. Natal samashpech umada the toks lochiso shel ovid chavim v'chaz umada toks lochiso shel Yisrael. If you're selling wine and you have Jewish and non-Jewish customers, and the way they would sell wine is that they didn't have wine bottles. Wine didn't come in a bottle. The whole idea of packaging industry didn't really exist. They just had like when you go to the shuk and there's just stuff out, you know. So now we have plastic bags that they would put it in, but you'd have to bring your own kalim, and they would just dump the stuff into your kalim. So the same was true with wine. People would bring wine bottles, and wine bottles often had a narrow top, a narrow opening, so it's very tedious to pour wine. It's like when there's a little soda in each bottle and you're trying to come out, like it's very tedious to pour from one into the to the other. So every mocher had a funnel that they would use to pour the wine into the kalev shel lokeach. So a lokeach comes and he's a nachri, and you pour wine into his kalev, and then through the funnel, and then the next lokeach comes and he's a Yisrael, and you pour wine through that very same funnel for the Yisrael. So that's the case of the Mishnah. Natal samashmich, you take this funnel, umadal the toksel chitzel of chavim, and you pour the wine into the flask of the ovid chavim. V'chazam umadal toksel chitzel of Yisrael. Your next customer is Jewish, and you pour the wine into the flask of the Jew. Im yeshpa akeves yayin, if this funnel has a little bit of wine at the edges of it, so then usher, then all the wine that goes into the Jew's flask is going to be usher, because the wine that's in the funnel itself became usher on account of the fact that it was used to pour into the guy's kli, and the those droplets that remain there are going to asser all the wine that goes through that funnel when you pour into the Jewish person's kli. The Gemara is going to discuss what exactly the nature of that isser is. What made that wine asser? How does it have the capacity to asser everything else? Tosfos raises the question on Amud Beis that we should asser even if there's no wine left in the funnel, because we're going to have in a couple of days from now that the mashpich of a guy that is not dried out is usser, meaning if a guy uses a mashpech, so that mashpech is usser unless you dry it out properly. The Mishnah mentioned nothing about drying anything out. So even if there's no ikuv of actual yayin, just the fact that there's moisture and absorption, that itself should asr. So Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that that's talking about if it's a mashpech made out of cheres. Cheres is balea a lot, and therefore it needs a special drying process. But over here we're talking about a mashpech made out of eights, where it's not balea so much, and therefore it does not need to be dried out. And only if there's actual droplets of wine in there is it going to be asr. Then Rabbeinu Tam changed his mind. He said, no, we're always talking about a mashpech made out of eights, but it depends whether it's an eight that's miyuchad for the tashmish of the guy, where the guy uses that eight over and over and over again, uses that mashpech over and over and over again, then it needs a special drying out process. But over here, we're talking about a mocher who's a Yisrael. He just happened to have had a non-Jewish customer that had come previously. So once it was used for a nachri, so then it doesn't need the drying out process. You just need to make sure that there are no actual drops of wine in it. If someone is pouring wine from one kli to another, the wine that remains in the kli that he poured from is mutter, but the wine that is in the kli that you're pouring to is asr, because the chacham mor goes there to asr yayin that was poured with the koach of the guy, meaning the case is that the guy is doing the pouring. So the guy picks up, a guy is buying wine from you, he's bigger than you, so he can lift up the big barrel. So he picks up the big barrel and he pours it into his own kli. So whatever get landed in his kli, that's usher. Whatever's still in the barrel is going to be mutter. Because it was only through his kocho that wine, he never touched the wine directly. It was only through kocho, so that which we usher with kocho is only that which left the kli, that which was actually poured. But that which stayed in the kli, we're not going to usher with kocho. That's the way Rashi learns the Mishnah. And he says, why do I learn the Mishnah that way? Because the Gemara on Amud Beis learns the Mishnah that way. So I'm just telling you what the Gemara says. Cheshek Shlomo on Rashi over here in the back of the Gemara says, look at the Gemara. The Gemara does not learn the Mishnah that way. The Gemara learns a separate Brisa as talking about that, but not the Mishnah. The Mishnah, the Gemara says, is talking about a case where Yisrael pours out ma'at ma'at. So there's no kiluach of chibur that creates a chibur between the two kelim, between the yayin nesach of the guy and the yayin of the Yisrael. So it's a totally different way that the Gemara learns the Mishnah. So how can Rashi tell me that this is pshat in the Mishnah because that's what the Gemara says? So the Cheshek Shlomo says, yeah, because once the Gemara explains the Brisa to be talking about a guy pouring out and that they weren't gozer on the koach of a guy, then it's mistaver that could be what the Mishnah means as well. So Rashi understood the Gemara that even though the Gemara initially explained the Mishnah one way, but once the Gemara explains the Brisa differently, and that explanation of the Brisa can also fit for the Mishnah, so mistaver the Brisa is a reflection of the Mishnah, and that's really the Gemara's conclusion, even though it never said it explicitly, it's the Gemara's conclusion of how to read the Mishnah. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos says like the Gemara says to read the Mishnah, not like Rashi, where he has this creative way of saying, oh, we'll take the way the Gemara explained the Brisa and put it back on the Mishnah. The Rambam just has like the Gemara explains it, where you pour ma'at ma'at. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. So now, says the Gemara, Tananas, and we have a Mishnah in Maseches Taharos, where the Mishnah says, Nitzok, if you have a stream of liquid, in water in this case, Vakatapres, or you have a liquid that's going down an incline, so it's actually on the ground, but it's going down like an incline on the ground, and it's connecting one body of water on the top where the water is coming from, and another body of water on the bottom where the water is going to, Umashka Tofeach, or you have a little bit of moisture in between two bodies of water that connects the two bodies of water, but it's just a little bit of moisture. Eino chibur lo l'tuma. It is not a chibur for tuma purposes. Meaning, if you're pouring a tahar mashke and a tame person is touching the bottom of the stream, or you're pouring down an incline and a tame person touches the mashke at the bottom of the incline, or there's a tame mashke and a tahar mashke and they're connected by this little bit of moisture, the Tahar Mashka does not become Tameh. It is not a Chibur with regard to Tumah. Just because the Mashka on the bottom is Tameh, that Tumah does not spread back upstream and be Metameh everything else. Below the Tara, nor with regard to Tara. If there's a hole of in the ground with water that's less than Arba'im Sa'a, and therefore is not a Kashra Mikvah, but through a Nitzok or a Katapres or a Mashka Tofeach, it's connected to a Kashra Mikvah, that's not a Chibur, and it does not become a kasher mikvah. Ha'ishboren, if you have a ground that looks, it's a white crackly ground that looks like salt that water has gathered in, chibur l'tumah l'tara, and because the ground has caved in a little bit, there are two bodies of water that now touch one another, so that is a valid chibur for both tuma and tara purposes. So amar Rav Huna, nitzok v'katapres mashka tofeach, chibur l'inyan yayin nesach. That nitzok, katapres, and mashka tofeach are a chibur for Yayin Nesach, meaning that if I have Yayin Nesach in the bottom kli, and I'm pouring wine out of a top kli, and there's a stream going from the top kli to the bottom kli, everything in the top kli is everything in that stream is already Yayin Nesach. The Nitzok is a chibur for Yayin Nesach, even though we just said Nitzok, Tabris, Mashko, Tefech are not a chibur, not for Tumah, not for Tara, but for Yayin Nesach they are. So Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Huna, Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna, Minalacha, where'd you get that idea that Nitzok is a chibur when it comes to Yayin Nesach? So the first raya, the Gemara is going to have five rayas. First raya that Nitzok is a chibur. Ilema, maybe you can tell me Miditnan, it's from the Mishnah, that a Nitzok v'katapres mashko tofeach eino chibur lolutum of lolutara, that the Mishnah and Taros was careful to say that Nitzok is not a chibur for Tumah and Tara purposes. Ah, so we know how to make a diuk. Lutum lolutara udalavi chibur, alin Yayin Nesach havi chibur, that it's not a chibur legabe Tumah and Tara, but for Yayin Nesach, Taka is a chibur. Well, then name a seifa, but then the seifa goes on to say, "Hey, ishburin chibur l'tum l'tara." When you have the broken, salty ground that connects the two bodies of water, that is a chibur for tum and tara. You're going to make the same diuk l'tum l'tara huda havi chibur halin Yayin Nesach lavi chibur. That the ishburin is only a chibur for tum and tara, but for Yayin Nesach it would not be a chibur. That doesn't make any sense. So el mehal lekel mishum bina. You can't make this diuk. meaning it's you're not going to come out with anything about Yayin Nesach. The Ravid points out it's not a stira, because the diuk of the Reisha is a stira to the diuk of the Sefer, because very often when there's one statement that's made in a very precise way, the other statement is made in a similar format to the first statement, or the first statement is made in a similar format to the second statement, even if we're sacrificing a little precision. So there's a sacrifice of precision here, either in the Reisha or in the Sefer. We're not sure which din is only about Tumatara, but the opposite is going to be true about Yayin Nesach. We can't know. We can't know which of these dinim is not going to be true about Yayin Nesach, and therefore it's not a valid raya at all. So Tanan, let's move on to raya number two. So again, we're trying to figure out whether Nitzok is Chibur for Yayin Nesach. So raya number two. Natal sa mashpechu madad l'tok sul chisu shlov chabim v'chazur madad l'tok sul chisu shel Yisrael. So this raya should sound familiar, because that's the Mishnah we just read, that you're using the same funnel that you use to measure out wine for the Nachri, now you're using to measure out wine for the Yisrael. Im yeshwa keves yayin, if there's a little bit of wine left in the funnel, then aser ha keves yayin v'may kamitzra. But why? What made that wine aser that's in the funnel? Lav benitzok? Didn't it only become aser because there was a nitzok chibur with the wine that was in the guy's kli, and that's what made it aser? Shema mina nitzok chibur, and therefore don't you see very clearly that nitzok is chibur for yayin nesach? So the Meiri points out that if nitzok is chibur, then why is it a mashma in the Mishnah that only the wine in the funnel became aser? If nitzok is chibur, then the wine in the original kli should also be aser. Meaning the seller is picks up his big barrel of wine, he pours it through this funnel, and it lands in the kli of an Ovid Chavim. So we would say, oh, the wine in that funnel is all through the Nitzok, through the stream, is connected to the wine in the funnel, and therefore whatever wine is left in the funnel is going to be aser. The wine in the barrel should also be aser. It's part of the same Nitzok. So the Miri says, nah, it's a little removed, meaning it's going through an intermediary kli, and therefore that's removed enough that it's not considered the same Nitzok. Only from the funnel to the guy's kli is considered a Nitzok. But anyway, the Gemara says, so you see, Nitzok is chibur. So the Gemara says, nah, it's not a raya. It could be that the reason the wine in the funnel is aser is not because of Nitzok chibur, but rather that the case is that the guy's kli becomes full until it's actually touching the wine that's in the funnel. So it's not through a nitzok, it's actually the funnel sitting in a pool of Yayin Nesach. So whatever wine is left in the funnel was actually sitting in the Yayin Nesach wine. Oh, so if that's the case, then what would be if it didn't rise to that level where it was where the funnel was sitting in the Yayin Nesach? Lo, it would make it sound like then the wine in the funnel would not be a problem. So therefore, it should be a raya in the other direction. So tifshoti nitzok eino chibur. From the fact that Rabbi Chiya taught the Braisa, Dafka to be talking about, taught in the Braisa, that the Mishnah's Dafka talking about a case where it's sitting in the pool of Yayin Nesach, and that's why there's a problem of it with the wine in the funnel. So shouldn't you be able to be medayik that if it weren't sitting in the pool and it were only a nitzok, that there would be no problem with the wine in the funnel? So it's a raya that nitzok is eino chibur. So it says, well, lo. The reason Rabbi Chiya explained the Mishnah to be talking about where it's sitting in the wine that's in the guy's kli, where the funnel is sitting in the wine that's in the guy's kli, is because then it's clear what the halacha is. That you know very clearly is aser. Nitzok, he didn't say that the Mishnah is talking about Nitzok because it was a suffik and we still don't know. So we didn't want to say that the Mishnah is talking about this because we're not sure if the Mishnah is talking about it because we're not sure what the halacha is in such a case. So from the fact that Rabbi Chiya did not say the Mishnah is talking about the case of Nitzok, all we see is that Rabbi Chiya wasn't sure what the halacha is about Nitzok. But you cannot prove that one way or the other about Nitzok. So Tashma, that brings us on to Raya number three. Hama'armi kli l'kli. If we learned in our Mishnah that if you have a Jew pouring from one kli to another kli that has Yayin Nesach, esha'armi menu mutter. That which the kli that the wine was poured from is mutter. The wine in the kli that was poured from is mutter. But the diuk should be hadabeni beni aser, that whatever wine was in the stream between the two kelim is going to be aser. Shema mino nitzok. nitzok chibur. Don't you see that nitzok is chibur? Says Gemara, well, wait. In nitzok chibur, afilu degavi demana nami litzar. If nitzok were really chibur, then even the wine in the original kli is part of that nitzok, and therefore should also be aser. Says Gemara, lo kasha dekam katif katufe. That the Mishnah is talking about. This is what we alluded to before, where you were just pouring out a little bit at a time. It was like you in spurts. So it wasn't a nitzok that went all the way back to the original kli. There was only a nitzok that went from the bottom kli to the mid-air. But so mikal makom nitzok chibur, and therefore we can still prove that nitzok is chibur, because we said only the stuff in the bottom kli is going to be usher, but the whatever's in mid-air is going to be mutter, even though it's a nitzok. So he says, if you're going to be medayik that way, ema seifa, the Mishnah goes on to say, es she'iru l'tocho hu da'aser. And if you want to make a diuk, hadabeni ben yishari, that the Mishnah went on to say, only the wine in the bottom kli is aser, implying that anything that's in midstream is going to be mutter. So you have a diuk from the reisha that anything that's in from the first half of the sentence, anything that's in midstream is going to be aser. A diuk from the second half of the sentence, anything that's in midstream is going to be mutter. You obviously cannot come to any conclusions from that, because there's no diuk to be made. The diuk can go in both directions. So that brings us to raya number 4. Tashema. If someone pours wine from a barrel into a bar that has yayin nesach, kiluach yorid misfas chavis lamata, aser. If the stream goes from the edge of the chavis and below, it's going to be aser. Meaning the kiluach becomes aser because it's mechuber to the yayin nesach that's in the bar. So you see clearly that nitzok is chibur. So Tirgmar of Sheshes, so Sheshes explained the Brisa that no, it's not talking about a Jew pouring the wine, but oved kochavim ama'ara. It's talking about a guy that's pouring the wine. Da'asi mikocho. So it's the koach of the Ovid Chavim that's pouring the wine from one place to the other. So then the wine that the guy poured, that's going to be, not because of nitzok, because a guy poured it. That's why it's going to be also nothing to do with what's in the bottom kli. He's pouring out of the top kli. Well, frankly, Mari Ovid Chavim Amara, if you look gavad the chavisa nami mitzar, if the guy is the one that's doing the pouring, then even the wine in the original kli should be aser. He's pouring all, you know, he's picking up the whole barrel and pouring. So it says, Markok, the Rechamid Rabbanan Udasar, who did Nafak Labra, you Gazubay Rabbanan, who did Lagavai, lo Gazubay Rabbanan. The whole din of wine that the guy never touched with his hand, it was only through his koach that he moved it, is only a din mid Rabbanan. So whatever actually left the kli that he was pouring from, that's Asar. A guy pours you wine, so the cup of wine that he poured you is going to be Asar. But the wine in the bottle, according to this, would not be Asar. Because that was only moved by the koach of the Ovid Chavim. He never actually touched the wine that's still in the kli. That's the ukimta the Gemara makes in the Braisa. Right, Rashi on the Mishnah said, that's pshat in the Mishnah, that the guy is the one doing the pouring. Gemara never said it about the Mishnah. Gemara only says it about this Braisa. So I'm the Rav Chisda, the Hanus of Yasa. Rav Chisda told a wine seller, the Jewish people who sold wine, ki kailisu chamra lovdi chavim, when you're measuring out wine for lovdi chavim, katve katufi, make sure that you pour it in spurts a little bit at a time, so that there's never a steady stream that goes from your kli all the way to the guy's kli, because he obviously holds nitzok is chibur, and if you don't do this, it's going to answer all of your yayin. Inami naftzi nafutzi. Or another thing that you could do is, don't pour it directly, but stand at some distance and throw the wine into his kli, and that way you'll avoid doing any nitzok. That seems like a little messy, but that way you'll avoid doing any nitzok, having any nitzok chibur. Amlu Rava lanu shchochai. Rava instructed Jewish people who were selling wine to Ovdei Chavim, ki shavchisu chamra, when you pour wine, lo likrav Ovdei Chavim l'seya ba'adaychu, make sure that the guy isn't helping you pour. Dilma mishtalisu v'shadisu le'a, because you might leave for a moment and he's going to be the one picking up your barrel and all the wine is going to be coming mikocho, and that's going to be aser, because we were gozer midrabanan that even when the guy moves the wine with his koach, it's going to be aser. So now we move on to raya number 5 about nitzok. There was a person that brought wine from one, moved wine from one barrel to another. Begishta ubaskishta. He used like a straw system where you know, where there are two straws set up, one in one kli and the other in the other kli, and he sucked through one of them where he got the flow going. And once you get the flow going, you don't have to keep sucking anymore. You just leave the straw there, and the whole thing will go right through. So he's transferring wine through such a system. Ovichavim put his hand over the straw that's flowing. Asher Rava l'kuli chamra, and Rava asked all of the wine. He thought it was all connected. Amleir papa l'Rava va'amri la Rava de bar maslan l'Rava va'amri la Ravina l'Rava. Someone said to Rava, "B'mai, what made the iser? Benitzok shamino nitzok chibur. Apparently, you ushered it because of nitzok, and that's a raya. The nitzok is chibur." Says, "No, shiny asim to kuli chamra gishto baskish shagarir. No, this is different because nitzok is something that there's a continual koach being applied to it. This is happening on its own now, so it's really considered very connected because you just leave it alone and all the wine is going to go from one kli to the other." If you have a wide kli that has like straws sticking out of the kli, and when you fill up the kli, it fills in the straws as well, shari, a Jew is allowed to drink together with a guy from each one, from their straw that attaches to the same kli. But that's only if the Jew stops drinking before the guy does. If the Nachri stops drinking first, then there's backwash, and we assume whatever he pulled up through his straw went back into the kli, and now the Jew's not going to be able to drink from it. Rabbi Rav Huna iklal be'Reish Kalusa. Rabbi Rav Huna went to the Reish Kalusa, sharlu l'mishta be'knishkanin, and he allowed drinking through a straw system like this. Ikata Amri, others say, Rabbi Rav Huna gufei ishti be'knishkanin, that not that he allowed others to do it, that he himself did it. So it's all about drinking with the guy, and because of Yai Nesach. That's the Pashut Pshat. So that's what Rabbi Baruch Huna was willing to rely on, and Pashtus only provided that the Jew stops drinking before the Nachri stops drinking. Okay, Bezrachem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the top of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Everyone have a great Shabbos.